As we normally do on a Thursday, thanks to the kindness of Brian Ross, we sit with Brian and we take a look at news stories from around the United States, even around our local area, but also around the world. And I guess we'll start off with a guy who's had a pretty busy day yesterday on several different accounts. And that guy is a guy by the name of the former president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Indeed, and today will be even more busy for him. The grand jury proceedings in Atlanta, where they're investigating whether Mr. Trump and any of the people around him tried to rig the election or falsify results, a judge has ordered that the conclusions and the introduction of the grand jury will be made public on this Thursday. So that will come. We're not sure when. Trump's upset about it. He's already called the investigation a witch hunt being conducted by the district attorney there in Fulton County, Fannie Willis. But she's had in a number of witnesses and is proceeding as if there was a crime committed. We'll know a lot better after the day's over.
All right. And also what happened, Donald Trump was trying to put in an offer about his DNA. The judge rejected Trump's offer. The rape lawsuit against him is going on.
Yes, indeed, he's got that. And there's one more criminal inquiry, at least, that there's news this week, and we'll probably see some more today or tomorrow. And that is the special counsel, Jack Smith, appointed by the attorney general to look into Trump and both the Mar-a-Lago, the documents that were found there, and his role, whatever it was, in January 6th. Special counsel is now trying to get one of Donald Trump's lawyers to testify. Now, lawyers generally can claim a lawyer-client privilege. What makes this so interesting is that the prosecutors there are claiming a fraud exemption. In other words, was the lawyer's advice or was the fact of the lawyer and his advice a part of a potential crime? That's what the Justice Department is arguing. It doesn't necessarily mean that the lawyer, who's M. Evan Cochran, is done anything wrong, but it does mean there's a point looking at whether Trump had, and they're trying to get his lawyer to testify. That's another big setback. And as we've seen in the news this week, he's also trying to prevent his former vice president, Michael Pence, from testifying before that same grand jury run by Jack Smith. So he's got a lot going on, a lot of grand juries, a lot of concerns for Donald Trump, I'd say.
All right. And we'll go to another concern, maybe, and that is Nikki Haley announces her run for president of the United States in the Republican Party.
Indeed. And she, of course, she's got some explaining to do, as they say, because she initially was very critical of Trump in the primaries back in 2016, then became his ambassador to the United Nations. Then she condemned him for the January 6th, and then she made up with him. And she said at one point she would not run if he's going to run. Well, he's running, and so is she. So we'll see what happens there. But she's the first to really officially go up against Trump.
And you know, you look at this and you know that Governor DeSantis is thinking about the possibility of this. And what comes to my mind is the Democrats last time, Bernie Sanders, and there was a whole field that was running. And Bernie Sanders was winning primaries by getting 35% of the vote. And Democrats finally said to themselves, even though I was a Bernie Sanders supporter, but Democrats finally said to themselves, you know what? We've got too many people in this race. They all dropped out. Except for one, Joe Biden, and Joe Biden ended up winning the nomination. What scares me is that the more people that get into the race with Donald Trump, once again, he can do what he did last time. In Republican primaries, it's winner take all, and the Republican field was so split. Donald Trump won primaries left and right with 33% of the vote.
And he can clearly do the same thing again this year. I don't know if there's any one individual who's going to have more than he will. He'll have a plurality. And as you correctly point out, the rules of the Republican, the rules of the road there for primaries, if you get a plurality, you win them all. So yes, indeed, as you look at the map and the delegates he'll need, he starts in a strong position, even with Nikki Haley now in the race and DeSantis talking about it and others also talking about it, including his former vice president, Mr. Pence.
All right. I want to go over to the balloon story because here's where politics gets interesting. The United States wants to confront China on a lot of different things, but they don't want to confront China on a lot of different things. And a story broke this yesterday afternoon about U.S. intelligence now assessing the possibility that that Chinese spy balloon did happen to be accidental. It sounds like a backdoor politics in the work here.
Well, a little bit. I mean, it may have been blown off course by the winds, they say, but the intelligence people that who have been talking about this off the record and behind the scenes also say the Chinese had the ability to steer that. They had the ability to propel it one way or another, and they didn't. And perhaps it got blown off course and they said, well, what the heck, let's see what we find. But in any case, that's perhaps an explanation as to the original motivation. And I'm also struck by the fact that according to the U.S. Intelligence officials, they watched that balloon actually take off from an island in China, tracked it all the way over Guam and then up over Alaska. And, you know, we didn't know about it, the American public, till it was seen over over Montana by, you know, people on the ground. I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered and that are being raised legitimately by the public and by members of Congress in both parties. And then the other question, Marshall, is were any of these really UFOs? What are these other objects? They say they were not Chinese balloons. We shot down three of them. What were they?
Well, the president's meant to speak on that, but we'll see. I think the public has come to realize is that the possibilities for UFOs is there. The reality, is it there? Well, who knows? But it'll be interesting to see where all this heads, from balloons to UFOs and more. In the States. Now, we have to really go and take a look once again at that horrible earthquake that took place in Turkey, where right now the death toll stands at over 36,000 people. That is an astounding death toll, and it's still only a couple hundred hours after, and a lot of buildings have not been cleaned up yet. Just a huge earthquake. I think it was 8.1. And, you know, you take this earthquake, and you take the all the other things that are going on, which is a couple of reports from scientists that the Earth's core either stopped spinning or slowed down. And you take a look at the weather, and then this huge earthquake, which at one place in Turkey actually cut a path that was 1,000 feet long and 150 to 250 feet deep. It looks like a canyon. I mean, this earthquake is a disaster that will keep opening up and revealing stories, horrible stories, like it has been now over the past week.
You know, and if you talk about the power of the Earth when these two plates clash, it's just stunning. We haven't seen the end of it. And, you know, this area in Turkey, and I've been down in that area on assignment before, you know, they knew there was a potential issue, and they went ahead with probably what was very poor building conditions. And, you know, I always raise the question, well, we know there are parts of this country, the United States, where there are similar potential fault lines. Are the building codes in this country being enforced as tightly as they should? Is there any way to prevent damage with that kind of powerful earthquake?
Yeah, it's all those questions are out in the air. It's just an amazing time. And then, yes, we have to come around again to the United States and the shootings this time at Michigan State University. These shootings just continue. They go on a regular basis. More people die, especially now more young people die, and the attacks really open up the way for some of these people don't even have a reason for attacking where they're attacking. It's almost like they just want to go out and top the last attack that took place.
And this tragic shooting in Michigan at the school there at Michigan State, you know, the shooter with mental issues saying he thought it was Judgment Day. He was hoping the police would kill him. You know, this is a person that shouldn't have had a gun.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing when you look when you look at it. We live in pretty amazing times, and as upended things are here, the war in Ukraine is still going on. Russia is still attacking. The Ukrainians are still defending and trying to move forward. But sooner or later, there's going to be a break in that war. I mean, it just can't go on like this, where Russians appear to be have lost 20,000 people. The Ukrainians losing hundreds in battle. I mean, you can't keep going through death tolls like this.
No, and the Russians seem unbothered by that. You know, they've massed 300,000. They're going to conscript even more, emptying out the prisons. And some of the accounts published this week about those who were captured, just how they were cannon fodder, essentially wave after wave. And the generals didn't care if they were shot down. That was how they're going to do it. And if it's going to be a battle of attrition, the Russians have the upper hand because they got the bigger country and they got more people who, and less concern about losing all those lives.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Well, one final thing that I want to really go on, and that is we're seeing these different leaders across the world resign, and you've got Nicola Sturgeon says it's a right to resign as Scotland's first minister. You know, with all this going on with Russia, it shows how important our relationship has become, even more important with all our allies in the European Union, because there's shakeup going on all over the world.
Absolutely. And it underscores the point that the current president has made that, you know, we can't be in it alone, that this, you know, America first, America only doesn't really work. We need other democracies in the world to be allied with us. And then we have a real ability to make changes and affect events on our own. What would we do?
Well, that's the whole thing, and that's why it was so important when President Biden really reestablished us in NATO. And you know, people have, were starting to believe the line from Donald Trump that NATO is outdated and not needed. Well, if anything shows how the strength of NATO is needed to keep us safe, but also our allies in Europe safe, boy, has it come out in the past year, year and a half.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's a tribute to whatever your politics are in terms of foreign policy. I think Mr. Biden has done a masterful job of keeping together a coalition and the ability to support and arm Ukraine without crossing whatever that line is that would trigger a Russian escalation.
And well, we'll go to one more politician, and that is Italy's Berlusconi was acquitted in the Bunga Bunga case. It's just that story out of Italy is absolutely amazing.
And it seems to be in keeping with all we know about him, you know, and around the world leaders, you know, have faced serious criminal charges. Netanyahu in Israel and in Italy and France. And, you know, now we'll see this week whether the circling in on Donald Trump. We've never had a situation where a president has been charged with a crime after leaving office. And, you know, many people think it's a mistake. Others say, well, no man's above the law. So with grand juries going in Atlanta, a federal grand jury in New York and Washington, and another grand jury in by the district attorney in Manhattan, he's in peril. There's a lot there. I'm sure his lawyers are working overtime this week.
All right, Brian, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it, Marshall.